Welcome to Inside Ag. I'm Jenna Fiscus, and today I'm joined by Nick DeCastro, founder and CEO at Land Trust, a recreation access network that connects the public to landowners, farmers, and ranchers, and allows them to connect for outdoor recreation. Welcome to the show, Nick.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on, Jenna.
For this episode, we will be learning how this resource may be helpful and valuable to farmers and ranchers and explore this new opportunity for income. I'm excited to hear more about this opportunity. I'll kick this conversation off by asking, what inspired you to start Land Trust, and what problem were you trying to solve for landowners, growers, and ranchers?
That's a great question. So we just crossed 6 years, or I did personally. I left my full-time well-paying gig July 1st of 2019 and took a dive into entrepreneurship. And you know, a lot of your listeners and growers understand that fully. But I didn't start it to solve a landowner's problem per se. I was on the other side. So, you know, to your point, Land Trust, for those who haven't heard of it, you can think about it as kind of like an Airbnb or VRBO, but for hunting, fishing, camping, that kind of thing on private land all over the country. So I was on the other side. I was a sportsman. I was living in Bozeman, Montana at the time. And I found myself, while there's still, you know, there's a ton of public land in Montana, but I, you know, was looking around town and there's beautiful ranches with, you know, whether it's the Gallatin River or places I wanted to go hunt and fish. And there was really no great way to do it. Of course, you can go door knock. Most producers don't love door knocking. It interrupts their day. You know, it just wasn't a great thing. Not to say that it hasn't led to some good relationships or whatnot. But for me, I was someone who would be happy and willing to pay for, you know, to go out there for the day or the weekend or something like that. There just wasn't a great way to do it. And so that's why I started Land Trust. I had been a host on Airbnb for years and saw kind of that sharing economy, like, hey, I'm not using this place right now and I'm willing to rent it to you. And, you know, it solves both people's problems. So that's really the impetus for starting Land Trust. Now, over the last 6 years and thousands of conversations with producers, we have getting close to 1,000 producers who use the platform today, 1.5 million acres in 44 states. I've obviously grown extremely, you know, our landowners are our business partners and we've become extremely passionate about our owner-operator producers. Not all of our landowners are owner-operator producers, but a lot of them are. It's become a focus for us. But like I said, I started it because I wanted to use the platform as a, you know, a guest, basically. I was the one looking to pay these landowners to go out and use their property for the day or the weekend or whatever it might be.
How does Land Trust help farmers and ranchers generate income through recreation? And what sets your platform apart from traditional leasing or agritourism models?
Another good question. So again, we run a two-sided marketplace. So there's hosts and guests, there's landowners and, you know, sportsmen and women. Our landowners own this amazing asset, the land that they live and work on, generally speaking. Most of the time, its recreational value is not being fully utilized. Land is really interesting because there's myriad use cases and things you can do on land simultaneously. So, you know, all of our landowners who host guests through Land Trust, they're still farming and ranching, right? So they're doing those things at the same time. Really, our landowners say, look, maybe our friends, our family, our neighbors, our kids like to hunt or fish or do these other things, but we don't do it all the time. Or, you know, maybe the family just likes to hunt whitetail deer and they've got ducks and turkeys in a bass pond or whatever. Like they have all these other resources that just really aren't being utilized all the time. And so they can partner with somebody like Land Trust to monetize those very specific things when and how they want. And, you know, you brought up traditional leasing. So especially for, let's take hunting, that's probably the most monetized recreation activity that landowners have historically done, right? It would be annual or multi-year leases, whether it be to individuals or to outfitters. So Land Trust is a lot more flexible. It was interesting. I found my wife's from Dodge City, Kansas. I remember when I first started the company, we were going down there and meeting with folks. We'd hear from farmers like, yeah, we used to lease to some guys from Alabama for deer. And it was nice to get the check, you know, whatever, it might be a $15,000 check. But then, you know, those guys are calling me, trying to get me to change my farming practices or, you know, move game cameras and stands around for, it wasn't what they had signed up for. And I think what it came down to is the transaction was the wrong size. Those guys from Alabama, they were going to come out for 4 or 5 days or the whole year, right? And that's it. One trip. So why not chunk that transaction down to the right size? Pay for 5 days, you know? And then the expectations are all a lot different too. So if I'm booking your farm, Jenna, for 5 days, I don't feel like I have the right to tell you to change your agricultural practices or, you know, all these other things. I'm just getting access to your land to go and hunt. And hopefully I'm successful. If I'm not, that's okay too. So our landowners, especially owner-operator producers, really have liked our model because it allows them the flexibility. They retain 100% control. You know, that was the other thing. What I found through, you know, building this business is producers especially value control above pretty much everything else. They want to control their property rights, their business, their way of life. And when you do annual or multi-year leases, you're selling away a property right for that period of time. Then you're, when your friend or your neighbor, your business partner, or the kid down the street wants to actually go and hunt or fish, like you can't really say yes, generally speaking. Whereas with land trust, they can say, oh yeah, absolutely. We're blocking out Thanksgiving week. Family's coming to town. Or, hey, we kind of save whitetail bucks for our family, but we're happy to have you come out and shoot does, or you can come out and hunt ducks or fish in the pond or whatever it might be, right? So they retain 100% of that control, but can still make money. And that's kind of like, I think, the sweet spot that we've nailed.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of baffling to me that we haven't thought of doing this sooner. I feel like there's so much land that's being used for maybe like one or two things, three things a
Yes.
year even. So it's probably a win-win situation for both the consumer and for the farmer because, then they don't have to worry about things out there eating my crop and the consumer gets what they want. So that's awesome.
And a lot of our landowners have really appreciated, if they were getting their kind of door banged down through door knocking, they can say, hey, look, we're listed on land trust. If there's availability, you can go through there. And so it's a way for them to kind of just redirect people. Door knocking can take a lot of time from people, especially at the wrong times of year. So they've enjoyed that aspect too. Frankly, they enjoy hosting people. We did build this with the producer in mind, so it's hands-free. Like, this is about do-it-yourself access to land. So for our sportsmen who use land trust, they're not expecting, there's no guides. Some of our landowners never meet any of their guests. Like, we build digital maps of the property where there's, hey, there's a gate here, there's a stand here, here's where you park, all that stuff. Here's where you don't go, like no-go zones. So we build it for people who might never meet their guests. They're just saying, I'm allowing you access to my land to do this activity for this amount of time, basically, right? You can come hunt whitetail deer for this weekend and it costs this much money. Now, a lot of our landowners who maybe didn't think they'd like hosting, we end up seeing through the reviews all the time that they really do enjoy sharing their land with people who actually appreciate it. And I guess maybe it's self-explanatory, but if someone's willing to pay the price that you're asking for that opportunity, they value it versus somebody who's looking for something for free. And again, it doesn't mean that every door knock or anything like that. Like, there's great people that do that too. I used to do it, but we've found that there's just really high quality guests and high quality experiences had when people are coming through land trust.
That's really, really awesome. What kind of financial impact are you seeing for landowners that use land trust? Are there any examples that you can share or any insight to that?
Sure. Yes. The range is very large, right? And I think our smallest property on land trust is 5 acres and our largest is 46,000 contiguous acres. So, it's the whole gamut, right? And so it really, look, we're about recreation opportunity. And so it comes down to what does the property look like? What does it have access to? So Kansas is known for huge whitetail deer. You've got big whitetails. Obviously, there's a lot more value on really big whitetails than there is on other things. So it's about what the property has access to from a recreation perspective, whether it be fishing or hunting or whatnot. Is there lodging? There doesn't have to be. So, land trust is everything from you're not allowed to stay on the property overnight. You got to go into town and then come back in the morning to you can put your tent up, you can pull your RV, we have a bunkhouse, or we got a really nice house. So it can be any of those things. So obviously, lodging, if you have it, you can generate more income like that. Cause that really is the best. If offering some sort of lodging is the best because, sportsmen, there's nothing better than waking up on the property and just walking out your door and like, there you go. Again, not required, but as a landowner, you can make more money. So I'm just giving you a bunch of context because it really does matter, right? I mean, I think our highest earning producer last year made 80,000, and that's almost pure profit, right? It's access to your land. They did offer lodging, but I think, anywhere in the $5,000 to $15,000 a year, if you're offering hunting and fishing and stuff like that, is very achievable. And then again, the quality of the access that the land has, the lodging, that kind of stuff is, there's a bunch of factors, but I think that's a very achievable thing. And again, it's, you're retaining all the control. So there's no long-term contracts with us. You can turn it off tomorrow. Our goal as a business partner is to be so good. Why would you ever want to do that?
Wow, that's really interesting. So I'm gonna circle back to something you said earlier. You
Sure.
said that the app has digital maps of the property. How do you create those maps? Do they have to submit aerial footage, or is that stuff that you guys go to the property and do?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we do partner with a couple of the kind of big mapping apps. So Onyx Maps, HuntWise, Basemap. So we're kind of partnering with a handful of these guys. And then we do all of our onboarding. So we onboard all of our landowners. We know they're busy people. So we have a great team. They can do a phone call with you. You can be in the tractor and like have a phone call. They'll ask you a bunch of questions. We'll build your listing. We'll find your property on, if you had three properties, we'd suggest you do three listings, right? So you can monetize them separately, different calendars, all that stuff. But yeah, we'll build the digital maps in those different mapping apps. Again, you tell us where you want people to park and where that you don't want them to go, where might be a stand or a blind or stuff like that. So we'll do all that work for you and then put it live and you can tell us if you need to fix, adjust anything, but we're very service oriented. We're very customer service oriented. Yes, technically we are a technology company, but we don't really talk about ourselves like that. We're a business partner with landowners.
That's really cool. Interesting. Are there any other specific land characteristics that tend to make property more attractive to recreationists, or things that especially qualify a farmer or their land for this
Sure.
kind of program?
There's a bunch of different activities. I started the company with hunting. So, we've got 30,000 plus hunters that use the platform, but hunters like to fish, like to camp, we like to do all these other things. So a property that has access to something to hunt is great. And that could be, it might sound crazy, but like prairie dogs are something that people are right now in the summertime are loving to go out and do, gophers or prairie dogs, predators like coyotes, but also dove hunting and any sort of hunting activity does really well. Fishing too. So if you have a, if you've got a farm pond or things like that, those couple things, some food, water, shelter, like the things that wildlife need, those are the things we look at.
Interesting. That's really cool. What are the biggest concerns that landowners express before they join land trust? And how do you address those? Or what's the conversation like surrounding that concern?
Sure. Number one is always liability. That is the number one thing. It's been the number one thing since day one. Still is. So here's how we address liability. One, if you're in one of the top 34 ag producing states, Kansas is definitely one of them, they have some flavor of agritourism liability limitation. So anything we're talking about, if it's happening on ag ground, whether it be hunting, fishing, horseback riding, photography, whatever it is, if someone's paying to come on your property, it's agritourism. So the state is limiting your liability at the state level because they want to encourage this type of activity because it brings new money, new wealth onto farm. So as long as you're not grossly negligent, the state is going to limit liability for you. So most producers in the beginning when we started this didn't know that. Like I said, 34 of the big ag producing states have that liability limitation. Then we get to land trust. First and foremost, anybody who would ever, come out and be a guest on your property through land trust has accepted our terms of service, which holds our landowners harmless. They have done ID verification. So we use a third party that you have to take a picture of your driver's license, your passport, your face, make sure you are who you say you are. They're paying with a credit card. So you have someone's ID and credit card, like people already are acting differently. You get to rate them. So the landowner rates their guests after every trip, vice versa. We're tying your ratings to your real ID. I don't know many landowners are going to invite a 3-star guest out. It's much more honest. And then we get into the insurances. So we carry a general liability policy that covers our landowners, $1 million per incident. We do property protection that we self-insure. And then in quite a few of those states, the Farm Bureau, actually Farm Bureau Insurance, often offers agritourism, like an agritourism rider, which is $1. So not everywhere, the insurance, Farm Bureau insurances are kind of grouped together in different places, but often if you're a member of Farm Bureau, you can get an agritourism rider. Again, they might be called different things in different states and the availability might depend on the state you're in. I'm pretty sure Kansas has one. So if you really wanted to belt and suspenders with your insurance. What I will say is we've facilitated thousands of trips over the past 6 years, zero incidents. And out of the thousands of trips, there's only been one 1-star review from a landowner. And it was, in Nebraska, it was someone, a guest of his out turkey hunting, drove out on a 2-track after it rained. He was a turkey hunter and kind of rutted a little bit. So that guest actually did come back and help him fix it. But that was kind of the worst review we've seen. The landowner was very happy after the fact when he came back and helped. So we do have very respectful sportsmen and women who use land trust. And again, this is what marketplaces like ours are good at. They're good at injecting trust and safety and transparency into what used to be kind of sketchy transactions.
That's so fascinating to me that in that many experiences, there have been zero incidents. I feel like there's not many other recreation things that can say that.
We do everything we can to protect. Can anybody sue you at any time for anything? Yes. Can't protect yourself there. What I often say to our prospective landowners is like, hey, if you've had anyone that's not your immediate family member out on your place recently, you're more exposed to liability than you are through hosting through land trust.
That is so helpful to know. And with that, how does recreational use of private lands align with or challenge land stewardship or conservation goals?
I'm a free markets guy. As you probably can tell, I'm running a private company and profit is the motivator. And I say that because there's a saying, if it pays, it stays when it comes to land. When I was getting this business going, I was working with some of the guys at University of Nebraska, Lincoln, and they have a College of Ag Science and Natural Resources there. And they said, Nick, this isn't a new model. If you look to Africa, where most of them did their kind of doctoral theses and stuff like that when they were working there, you can go look at the countries in Africa that monetized recreation, whether it be, photo safaris or hunting safaris. The countries that did that still have game and have a lot of it and have a lot of wildlife and wild land. The countries that kind of got rid of it don't have it. So that's where that saying comes from. If it pays, it stays. If having high quality habitat and wildlife pays, it will stay. And to me, agriculture and hunting and fishing and these things are so closely tied together because farmlands is like the best habitat for wildlife. It's just food. It's big food plots, essentially. Really, what we've seen, you know, I'll give you an example with turkeys. I live in Alabama now. I lived in Montana until about last September, and I moved down here. And I can tell you in the West, Montana, Nebraska, et cetera, you tell ranchers that people want to pay them to come out and hunt turkeys, it just like blows their mind. Like, why? You know, they're, over and over again, we hear that. I said, no, like, trust us. Like, there are a lot of people. And so, you know, that rancher in the sand hills of Nebraska or Kansas and say, hey, all right, well, this turkey hunting with you. And they make, I don't know, $5,000 from hosting a handful of turkey hunters in a spring. And they're like, wow, this is pretty cool. And we've had plenty of ranchers come back to us and say, how do we get more turkeys? How do we have more turkeys? And that's really comes down to habitat, right? So it's, you know, those people are going to go in and, you know, okay, this is a revenue stream. And how do we make that revenue stream durable and repeatable year after year? Really, the profit motive is what really aligns all that stuff. So if you're motivated by the profit of hosting, you know, let's just say hunting, for example, well, if you go and book out your property every single day of season and shoot out all of your deer or your pheasants or your, you know, whatever it might be, that's not going to be a revenue opportunity for you next year. So really, with the profit mindset, you say, well, okay, we want to make as much money as we can this season without hurting our populations and making sure we have a really renewable resource for year after year after year. And so to me, again, it goes back to if it pays, it stays. So our landowners are always thinking about this, and we work with them too. And you know, we'll partner with like National Wild Turkey Federation, some of these other organizations too. We're not the, you know, we're not the scientists by any means, but it is very much that mindset. And in Kansas had, you know, some pretty bad droughts the last few years in different parts of the state. We saw plenty of our landowners in the inquiries coming into them saying, hey, look, we're not going to do any upland bird hunting because it's been a drought and we want to let them come back, you know. So our landowners are already stewards of the land. That's a really great thing about working with producers. This is already their mindset, and we see that happen naturally. It's not something we have to enforce. It's not like they want to go out and book 50 hunts. They're not outfitters. They're landowners, and they live there, and they want to see that place and those species and that wildlife, you know, flourish.
What is your vision for where land trust and the broader recreation economy will be in the next 5 to 10 years?
Sure. Well, of course, I want to see us grow. I want to see tens of millions of acres on the platform. We're about 1.5 million today. And, you know, kind of tying to what we just talked about, I believe that, you know, the more acreage that comes onto a platform like Land Trust, where that profit motive is on high quality habitat and wildlife, we're going to see more quality habitat and wildlife. And for it to be a consistent income line item for our landowners, you know, we've worked with some landowners now for 4 or 5 years, and we hear them talk about it. They'll have their business meetings, and you know, their land trust revenue grew 70% year over year. And to where it can be this new digital business, if you want to go back to the farm, obviously you got to be able to pay for it. And so land trust is a digital business that this next generation can manage from their phone. It can generate 10, 20, 30, 50, $60,000 a year, which can bring a family back, right? It can bring someone back to the farm, and it's totally symbiotic with production agriculture. It is not a replacement. This is just people coming out and enjoying the place. And I think at the higher level, the bigger we become and the thousands, tens of thousands, hopefully someday millions of trips that get facilitated, it is reconnecting people like me who are non-producers with the people who are producers in our country, especially when you talk about hunting, but all the outdoor rec, we love nature and our landowners love nature. And the things we love are stewarded by these landowners. The lower 48 is 70% private, 900 million acres of ag ground. So all the places that we love are, generally speaking, private land. Generally speaking, they're going to be ag land. I think that's a really important thing to remember. And especially you look at a state like Kansas, 99% private. People think Texas is like a private land state. Texas is like 96% private. So like Kansas has it beat. And if you drive through Kansas and you're a hunter, a fisherman like myself, everywhere you look, you're just like, this is so beautiful. And you're like, it's amazing. And that's all stewarded by private landowners.
That was Nick DeCastro, founder and CEO of Land Trust. Thank you so much for sharing a bit of your time and expertise with us today, Nick.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Jenna.
Check out the show notes for a link to the Land Trust website page for landowners to read more about getting involved with this industry, or call or text 406-709-8450 with questions or to learn more. Look for an article from a happy Land Trust customer in Kansas in the upcoming fall issue of Kansas Living magazine. That's it for this episode of Inside Ag, brought to you by Kansas Farm Bureau, the voice of agriculture. If you enjoyed today's show, be sure to give us a like and share it with others.